ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Chapter entitled Jagannatha instructs King Raghubana. Text number 2.
Tathaiva rajan urugraha medha.
Kaya na shuddho na chakasti sadhu.
Translation purport by Drawing Grace Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. My dear King, talks of the relationship between the master and the servant, the king and the subjects, and so forth, are simply the talks about material activities. People interested in material activities, which are expounded in the Vedas, are intent on performing material sacrifices and placing faith in their material activities. For such people, the spiritual advancement is definitely not manifest. Translation responsibly.
My dear King,
talks of the relationship between the master and the servant.
Talks of the relationship between the master and the servant.
The king and the subject.
The king and the subject.
And so forth.
And so forth.
Are simply talks about material activities.
Are simply talks about material activities.
People interested in material activities.
People interested in material activities.
Which are expounded in the Vedas.
Which are expounded in the Vedas.
Are intent on performing material sacrifices.
Are intent on performing material sacrifices.
And placing faith in their material activities.
For such people,
spiritual advancement is definitely not manifest.
Spiritual advancement is definitely not manifest.
purport. In this verse, two words are significant: Vedavada and Tattvavada. According to Bhagavad Gita, those who are simply attached to the Vedas and who do not understand the purpose of the Vedas or the Vedanta Sutra are called Vedavada Prata. Yam imam puspitam vacham pravadanti avapaschitaha Vedavadarata partha nanyat asti vadina. Kamatmana swargapara janma karma phala pradam kriya visesha bahulam bahugaishwarya gatim prati. Men of small knowledge are very much attached to the flowery words of the Vedas, which recommend the various fruitive activities for elevation to heavenly planets. Resultant good birth, power, and so forth, being desires for sense gratification and the opulent life, they say there is nothing more than this. The Vedavada, the followers of the Vedas, are generally inclined to karmakanda, the performance of sacrifice according to the Vedic injunctions. They are thereby promoted to a higher planetary system. They generally practice the Chaturmasya system. Akshayam hi vai Chaturmasya yajinaha sukritam bhavati. One who performs Chaturmasya yajna becomes pious. By becoming pious, one may be promoted to higher planetary systems. Urdam gacchanti sattvastha. Some of the flowers of the Vedas are attached to karmakanda, the fruitive activities of the Vedas. In order to be promoted to a higher standard of life, others argue that this is not the purpose of the Vedas. Tathaiveha karma jita lokan siyate evam utra punya jivata loka siyate. In this the world, someone may become very highly elevated by taking birth in the aristocratic family, by being well educated, beautiful, or very rich. They are the gifts of the pious activities enacted in the past life. However, these will be finished when the stock of pious activity is finished. If we become attached to the pious activities, we may get these various worldly facilities in next life and may take birth in the heavenly planets. But all these will be eventually be finished. Shine punye martya lokam visanti. Bhagavad Gita 9.21. When the stock of pious activity is finished, one again has to come to this Martya Loka. According to the Vedic injunction, the performance of pious activity is not really objective of the Vedas. The objectives of the Vedas explained in Bhagavad Gita, Vedaishta Sarve Aham Eva Vedya. The objective of the Vedas is to understand the Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those who are Vedavadis are not actually advanced in knowledge. And those who are followers of the Jnanakanda, Brahman understanding, are also not perfect. However, when one comes to the platform of Upasana, or they accept the worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he becomes perfect. Aradhananam sarvesham Vishnur Aradhanam Param. In the Vedas, the worship of the different demigods and the performance of sacrifice are certainly mentioned. But such a worship is inferior because the worshippers do not know the ultimate goal is Vishnu. Nate vidu swartha gatimhi Vishnu. When one comes to the platform of Vishnu Aradhana or Bhakti Yoga, one has attained the perfection of life. Otherwise, as indicated in the Bhagavad Gita, one is not Tattva Vadi, but the Veda Vadi, a blind follower of the Vedic injunctions. A Veda Vadi cannot be purified from material contamination unless he becomes a Tattva Vadi, that is, one who knows the Tattva or the Absolute Truth. Tattva is explained in three features: Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan iti Sadhyate. Even after coming to the platform of understanding of Tattva, one must worship Bhagavan, Vishnu and his expansions, or one is not yet perfect. Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavanamam prapadyate. After many births, one who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto Krishna. The conclusion is that the unintelligent man who is poor fond of knowledge cannot understand Bhagavan, Brahman or Paramatma. But after studying the Vedas and attaining the understanding of the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is supposed to be on the platform of perfect knowledge. Om Ajnanati Mirantasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militan Mena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadavayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Visakham Vitam Sa He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneswari Krishnabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpaturu Yascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam Langam Langayate Kriyam Yat Prapatam Aham Vande Sri Guru Dinatarinam. Hare Krishna. It's nice to have an audience in the temple room. Sending the classes used to be like, okay, we're talking to either camera or just one person or two person. It's very nice to see some devotees in the audience. So we're hearing this wonderful narration of the activities of Maharaj Bharat Maharaj. So in the fifth canto we are hearing the lineage and activities of Maharaj Priyavrata. Maharaj Priyavrata is the it's a grandson of Lord Brahma. So Lord Brahma is the first living entity, and then his son is Swayambhu Manu. Swayambhu Manu's son is Priyavrata Maharaj. So Maharaj Priyavrata, and from there his son Agnidra. So his son is Navi. Navi's son is Rishabhdev. Huh? And Rishabhdev's son is Bharat Maharaj. Huh? And Bharat Maharaj is the oldest of 100 sons. Huh? So we heard the activities of Maharaj Bharat. Huh? He was the emperor of entire planet. In fact, the whole planet was known by his name. Before the planet was, the Varsha was known as Ajnava Varsha. Because Navi Maharaj, that section, Bharat Varsha. And then, because the Bharat Maharaj was so perfect and such an exalted king, even the demigods came and changed the whole, the section, the Bharat Varsha, into by his name, such an exalted personality of Bharat Maharaj. So as we heard, as we understand, you know, that Bharat Maharaj, after ruling for so many years, you know, hundreds of millions of years, he's gone into a Vanaprastha stage. When he was in Vanaprastha stage, he went to a forest, and what happened? He was in the platform of Bhava, as Bhagavatam explains, gives information. You know, Bhava is a very high state of devotions, in a platform. Second to last, Prema is the highest. So he was in a Bhava platform. And at that stage, he becomes a deer, attached to deer. A deer which we know that, I think, the mother deer was chased by a lion while she was crossing a river, and then she was pregnant and she gave birth to a little cub deer. What's the word for deer? The baby?
Fawn.
So then the mother died while they gave birth. So now Bharat Maharaj saw all these activities and he took that little baby deer in his care. As he was taking care, now as slowly becomes very attached to it. To the point of, we heard so much that he was so attached, and he was just, once the deer disappeared, and then he was lamenting. And every thought, every words, every activity was just thinking about the deer. In that stage, he leaves the body. So as Krishna says, yam yam bhapi smaro bhavam, right? As one remembers, at the time of death, one gets the next body. So Bharat Maharaj will receive the body of?
Deer.
Yeah. Now what was the great thing about the, one thing that was beneficial, is that he could remember. The Lord gave him that ability. For Bharat Maharaj was such an exalted devotee, even though he became attached to deer. Even he became a deer, but that the memory of his past life still carried on. Not every deer will have that memory. So then, as he remembers what happened, how he fell down into the body of a deer, animal. Even in as an animal, he didn't partake into a normal animal activities. What did he do? He used to go to the sages, where the sages were living, and whatever the remnants was left over, he used to eat that, dry grass. Even in the body of a deer, he was performing the austerities. Now, then he ends, the life comes to the end of the deer life. Now, next birth, he appeared as?
Jarvarat.
Yes. Is he born as a Kshatriya or Brahman?
Brahman.
Now he becomes a Brahman. Such a pious Brahmanic family, he takes birth. There, he does not. He also still remembers the previous life. Lord has that given him that ability to remember his past life. As he remembering this whole what has taken place, now he's come to this human birth again. Human birth is very rare. Even to take birth in the family of Brahmana, Lord in Bhagavata, Lord explains, is you have to have the pious activities to be born in a family Brahmana. So he takes birth as a Brahmana. Now his father, being a pious father, he tries to educate him in the Brahmanical activities. He tried to make him chant Gayatri, he performs the samskaras. However, he acted as dumb and dull, and his state can be completely detached.
Yeah.
That's why it's called Jada Bharat. His name still remains a Bharat, but became like a Jada. Jada means that he is completely detached. Jada is also refers to the matter is completely dull. He could hear, but he acted that as if he could not hear, he could not listen, he just didn't care. Why? Because his thoughts, his actions, or his meditation was high in meditating on the Lord. That was his focus. Normally, average person will have to go through the samskaras, will have to go through the purification process, and it's a very slow. But he completely neglected all that. It's just completely in a different platform. So, like that, he has he acted like that to the point of his family started to neglect him, and eventually his father dies, and he comes to the care of his brothers. Brothers also neglect him because he's not really enough filling in being in the norm of the society. So they also engage him in being a scarecrow, just go on the field, chase the birds. He was just be completely aloof, or in a sense like he was just was doing whatever he was doing, but in a deep in his heart, deep in meditation, was constantly meditating on the Lord. Even to the point once those they wanted to offer a human sacrifice to the Mother Kali, because they were worshippers of Mother Kali. They take him there and they bathe him, rest and everything. Even then he was not rejecting. He was just objecting to the what's happening. He was just about to kill, being killed. He's dressed and everything, completely careless. As we know, the Mama Kali understand what personality is being sacrificed by this. So Mother Kali comes out of the deities, and then instead of he gets sacrificed, he gets saved, and the rest of the crew gets killed. Such exalted devotee. So like that, this is his life of Jarvarat. And then, as we understand, King Grahugana comes into a picture. King Grahugana is going to see Lord Kapila Dev in Kapila Ashram. He is being carried by in the palanquin by the palanquin carriers. So as the king was traveling to Kapilashram, they needed an additional palanquin carrier. So they're looking for someone to carry, and they find Jat Bharat again in the field somewhere. You know, he was wandering around, very healthy, very strong. So he asked him to carry the palanquin. So they engaged him in the carrying the palanquin of King Rahugana. As he was carrying the palanquin, he was avoiding not to step on the ants and other living entities that are on his path. Such was his consciousness, you know, just to step. So while he was doing that, avoiding that, so the palanquin gets wobbly. Then, of course, somebody was sitting on the top, and if you have a wobbly, and he's what kind of it is. So then kings eventually tells him that when the king addressed him, he wasn't angry, because what did he say first? He says, this King Rahugana is speaking to Jagrat initially. He says, how troublesome this is, my dear brother. You certainly appear to be very fatigued because you have carried the palanquin alone without assistance for a long time and for a long distance. Besides that, due to your old age, you have become greatly troubled. My dear friend, I see you are not very firm, nor very strong nor stout. Aren't your fellow carriers cooperating with you? So he was like gently saying, just carry it properly. And then that, but Jatbharma still did not want to kill any living entities in his path. He carried, continued a similar trait. Then what happens? King gets upset. Right? Then he says, so king is very upset, right? And he sarcastically starts to chastise Jat Bharat. He said, I am the king, you are a servant, you meant to follow my order. Why aren't you doing it? As a king, I can punish you, so on and so forth. So he started to chastise him. Then, now, I think thus far, I think Jagrat hardly was speaking to anyone. So he said, he, as a devotee, he sees an opportunity. Devotee looks for an opportunity. Alright, as Jagannath Prabhu was saying yesterday, like, you know, Murga Vijay. There's some opportunity to preach, right? Then the devotees, there is a. So, then Jagrat now begins to speak. Now he's speaking to a king. If a king becomes a devotee, what is the effect? Entire kingdom can be benefited. Yes? If the leader of the society had taken this Krishna consciousness or take the, you know, path of devotion, imagine the effect. So here's an opportunity, Jagannath, taking. Jagannath responds. This is in text 9 of the last chapter, the previous chapter, chapter 10. The great Brahma Jagannath said, my dear king and hero, whatever you have spoken sarcastically is certainly true. Actually, these are not simply words of the chastisement. For a body is the carrier. The Lord carrier by the body does not belong to me. For I am spirit soul. chapter 2 of Bhagavad Gita Krishna begins. That's it. I am not the carrier of the palanquin. The body is the carrier. Certainly, as you have hinted, I have not labored carrying the palanquin, for I am detached from the body. You have said that I am not stout and strong, and these words are very befitting for a person who does not know the distinction between body and a soul. The body may be fat or thin, but no learned man would say such things of the spirit soul. As far as the spirit soul is concerned, I am neither fat nor skinny. Therefore, you are correct when you say that I am not very stout. Also, if the object of this journey and the path leading there were mine, there would be many troubles for me, but because they relate not to me but to my body, there is no trouble at all. So Jadvarat begins Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, right? As Krishna, and similarly we see in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, and when Arjuna is completely bewildered, completely just giving his argument, then comes first instruction. What the Lord Krishna gives on is the same. You're not this body, you're a spiritual soul. That is the ABC of our spiritual journey, to understanding the spiritual journey. No? If we don't understand this, I think the whole practice becomes a null and void, almost. Very basic, fundamental understanding is this in the spiritual life, is that we are spiritual, we are not this body. Then the journey of the spiritual life begins from there. Anyway, so the conversation goes on with then when he hears this from, suddenly what happens? Some transformation takes place.
Yes, Lord.
Right. Being a king, being educated, being a pious king, understood, there is something wrong here. Why I have done some mistake here. Huh? Immediately realizes his mistake. That person who is carrying me, I'm using it, and I'm treating as a servant, is not an ordinary person. No? So, as a repentant, this is a response from the King Grahugana. No? My dear sir, I'm not afraid of the thunderbolt of King Indra. This is in text 17 of Allah said. Nor I am afraid of the serpentine, piercing trident of Lord Shiva. So he's not afraid of Indra's thunderbolt, he's not afraid of the serpentine, he's not even afraid of the Trishul of the Lord Shiva. I do not care about the punishment of Yamaraj, the superintendent of death, nor I am afraid of fire, scorching sun, moon, wind, nor weapon of Kubera. Yet I am afraid of offending a Brahmana. I am very much afraid of this. So the king now realizes this mistake. What is he now? He said, I'm not afraid of anything. I'm careless. But what is the message you see in this text? Offending a Vaishnava, offending a Brahmana is very, 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 very hard. So then, now the king has taken surrender unto Chadvarat. He realizes that this is not a ordinary person. He is a very highly advanced devotee. He takes shelter. Then he begins to ask question. Now he has become a disciple, similar to Arjuna. Until somebody surrenders, until somebody gets there, you don't get it. If you want mercy, if you want the thing, when the saintly person is there, take opportunity. So king is taking this opportunity. So yesterday's verse, which is the beginning, now the Jagat is taking the position of the instructor as a spiritual master and begins to instruct. Next few chapters we hear the great, very wonderful the conversation or the instructions given by Jagat to King Rahugana. And this is the beginning. So this is the beginning of King Jarbhad is instructing King Rahugana. So yesterday we heard, he said, "My dear king, although you are not at all experienced, you are trying to speak like a very experienced man." Does this conversation familiar? In Bhagavad Gita, what happened? When Arjuna, like he spoke, and he, so many of this, the reason for not to do his duty. gave so many excuses and said, "I should not kill my gurus and the elders, and then if the family did, they destroys everything, destroys all." So this just on. When Krishna spoke, what did he say? "You are a fool, number one." Beginning, right at the beginning, whatever you spoke, you are a fool, number one. Here, same thing. When great personality speaks, it's, "My dear king, although you are not so at all experienced, you are trying to speak like a very experienced man." In other words, he said, "You are a fool." Consequently, you cannot be considered as an experienced person. An experienced person does not speak the way you are speaking about the relationship between the master and the servant, or about the material plan, pains and pleasure. These are simply external activities. Any advancement advanced experienced man considers absolute truth does not talk in this way. So this was yesterday's verse. Now today is this verse. Just so far we just come to the and it was very nice yesterday. Jagannath Prabhu gave a very wonderful class on the same verse. It was more related on the speech, different speeches, different types. So today, as we heard, Jagannath is coming to the point of is instructing the king immediately. The population works under the governance of Vedas, according to what Krishna has set up, that is being followed. Jagannath gets right into it. Vedas. Because entire Vedas are designed, it's like a manual for a whole human society to operate on. And this manual comes from Creator, Krishna. Yes? Vedas are created by Krishna. And what is Veda? What are the Vedas? They are like a manual. How we conduct in this world, how to operate, how everything operates. It's like a big manual. So in this verse, so as we know, the Vedas are the manuals or the how we can we in the human society to conduct as given. So if we understand that the Vedas are a vast body of knowledge, The Veda, the word Veda itself has got a root. Vid means like Vidya. Vid means knowledge. Veda. So this body of knowledge. So Vyasadeva has created the Vedas. Yeah. How many Vedas are there?
Four
Vedas. Rigveda, Samaveda, Yajurveda, and Atharvaveda. Yes. Four Vedas. This is the origin of the four Vedas. No? I think it was said that these four Vedas consist of like 100,000 verses altogether. Now these Vedas also get now subdivided into Shruti and Smriti. Shruti is that knowledge which now be that. See, initially the Vedas were written 5,000 years ago or older. Vyasadeva has compiled them and written in a written form. For the reason that the Kali Yuga generation is coming ahead, right? So Vedas are now written down. Prior to that, the knowledge was passed on Shruti, heard, and then it was passed on. So that the memory was so sharp that once heard, never forgotten. For ourselves, what you have eaten yesterday, I have forgotten. That is our memory. But the past age, the knowledge was passed or was carried on, passed on by Shruti. That's what we call Shruti. So then we have, under Shrutis, we have four Vedas, we have the Upanishads. They also come to common Shrutis. So Vedas are the Vedas also in Smriti are also part of the Vedas, which is now Smritis are those knowledge being practiced and it's like case study, and then passed on to the next generation. And Smritis, like a smaran, they have been remembered. As somebody has practiced and then somebody has it makes note and then he passed on. Huh? So Shruti and Smriti. So we have four Vedas, we have the Upanishads, then we have Upavedas also. Upavedas are like sub Vedas. Like Dhanurveda, Ayurveda, Atharveda, Sipaveda, Vastu Shastra, these are all Upavedas. And then there's Veda Angas. Veda Angas like Shiksha, Nirukti, Vyakaran, Jyotish, Kalpa Sutra, so on and so forth. That Angas, Veda Angas. There are also Dharma Shastras. Dharma Shastras, Yoga Shastra. Puranas, 18 Puranas. The 18 Purana itself only consists of 400,000 verses. Just the Purana, 18 Puranas. Upapuranas, they are also Upapuranas. Itihas, Mahabharata, Ramayana. Mahabharata has 100,000 verses. Ramayana has about 250,000 verses. So this is the Vedas consists. And then, of course, this is the Vyasadeva's work. The rishis have worked. They learned the Vedas and they also the researched and then they elaborated on each topic. And we'll have the rishis like the Bhrigu Samhita, Garga Samhita, and each rishis that they just created vast bodies of knowledge. That's all now coming to a Vedas. Now Vedas have got divided into three sections. Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda and Upasana Kandas. Primarily, the Vedas deal with Karma Kanda. Right? What is Karma Kanda? Any thoughts?
If you do good action, you get good results.
Correct. You do good, you will be awarded with good result. Yes? as karma. So you perform a good deed, you will be awarded. That is what is karma kanda. Generally encourages. That is the whole thing. So Vyasadeva has put this section so the people can be a good citizen in the world. You perform yagya, you worship demigod, you will be promoted to the higher planet, and then you carry your punya, then you go to the higher planet, you enjoy, and once the punya finishes, you come down and perform again, do the same thing again, and go. There's a cycle. Goes on. Huh? So the citizen continues to be a good, so they, in the result of something that they will get, they will be remain good, and then this cycle goes on. So that cycle here, this Jagvarta is now speaking, is that this particular going Kamakanda, he is rejecting. What he says, what we read today? In the translation, if you read, it's, my dear king, the talks of the relationship between the master and the servant, the king and the objects and so on and so forth, simply talks about material activities. People interested in the material activity which are expounded in the Vedas are intent on performing material sacrifice. Huh? And placing faith in their material activity, for such people spiritual advancement is definitely not manifest. In other words, you go into, you are in this cycle of just going up and down, up and down, up and just going in the cycle. And when you are in this material world, you have to take birth, old age, diseases, and so on, just goes on. There's nothing. So immediately he's going saying, okay, get out of this cycle. That's the instruction today. He's putting. So don't be attached to this flowery words of the Vedas. Even Krishna says that, same thing in Prabhupada and course of Bhagavad Gita. Of Srimad, Krishna speaking about the same thing. No? So, Vedas are there. It is to be followed. Not following the Vedas is completely, it's out. Yeah, it's out. Becomes a bikarmi. One of those who do not follow it, it's like they don't follow the rules. So those who follow the Vedas, they're better. However, within the Vedas also, if you're just going into this karma kanda and just performing rituals and trying to enjoy, it's all self-centered. What's for me? I'll do this because of this for me. I'll get benefit and I'll do so. So this is goes in cycle. So to encourage this, this is the whole, even what Lord Krishna said, what is it? The Prabhupada, what's his verse? Yamimam Pushpitam Vacham, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, this is chapter 2, text 42 and 43. Yamimam Pushpitam Vacham. The words in the Vedas are so flowery, so attractive for a materialistic person. It's like pushpa. Pushpa is a flower. So very attractive, looking very colorful, very soft, very nice. You know, it's very it's attractive. Huh? Prabhadanti Viparshita, Veda Bada Rata Bhartha. These are the propounders of the people who are just propagating this Veda Bada Rata. Prabhupada gives long explanation of the Veda Bada Rata. Those who are attached to these fruitive activities. As a Veda Bada Rata. Krishna also says same thing. Veda Bada Rata Bhartha, Nanyadati Viparshita. Kama Mana Swarga Para. What is their desire? Is Swarga Para. They're looking for they wanting to go to heavenly planet. Kamatmana Swarga Para. Janma Karma Phala Pradam. So they want to have the Janma and Karma, the activities and birth, the highest. Going to be born as a rich family, born in an aristocratic, Kriya Vishesha Bahulam Bhopaishwarya Gati Pratim. Their whole objective of this Karma Kanda is to Bhoga and Aishwarya. They're looking for enjoyment and opulence. Bhogeshwari Gati Pratim. This is the Gatim. This is their goal. Krishna is saying. So, what is the purpose of the Vedas? Anyone? Yes, Madhavan?
Swarga, heaven.
Yes, that's material. What's the purpose of the spiritual purpose of the Vedas?
Yes.
Does anyone remember the verse from Bhagavad Gita? Krishna says that? 15:15. Yes, Vedaischa Sarve Aham Eva Vedya. Right? Vedaischa Sarve. Sarve means?
All.
Vedaischa Sarve Aham Eva Vedya. By all the Vedas, the purpose of the Vedas, I am to be known, Krishna says. Vedaischa Sarve Aham Eva Vedya. Vedanta Krit. I'm the creator also of the Vedas. I created the Vedas, Krishna says. The purpose is Him. The creator is Him. And to know Him. To come to know Him. So here, Jadvarat is saying, don't get into these flowery words of the Vedas, of this Karmakanda section. Get out. As we heard the whole narration of the Prachinivari, who is also very greatly attached to this Karmakanda section. Narada Muni comes there and gives the whole allegorical the pastimes of Puranjana and so on and so forth. So it's very attractive for people in general. You offer a one coconut and you'll get millions of dollars in return. such as demigods will give you what you desire, what you want. You just do be a favorable to them. This is very attractive. So Krishna says, what is the purpose of the Vedas? Is to
know Him.
So, Krishna again says, you think that the Vedas are the Traigunya Visaya Veda. The Visaya, the subject matter of the Vedas is Traigunya Visaya Veda. Means to how to manipulate, how to enjoy these three modes, how to make it better. You may come to the mode of goodness and then enjoy the. So this is how the purpose. So Mahaprabhu gives very nice explanation of what is the purpose of the Veda. So even Krishna also gives another instance in 11th canto. This is a Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quoting. This is a Chaitanya Mahaprabhu giving an instruction to Sanatana Goswami in Banaras. There he gives the purpose of the Vedas. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quoting Padma Purana. There are many types of Vedic literatures and supplementary Puranas. In each of them, there are particular demigods who are spoken as the chief demigods. This is just to create an illusion for the moving and non-moving living entities. Let them perpetually engage in such an imagination. However, when one analytically studies all the Vedic literatures collectively, he comes to the conclusion that Lord Vishnu is the one and only the supreme personality of Godhead. What is the purpose of the Vedas? It's to know Krishna. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also instructing Sanatana Goswami. Now this is Lord Krishna gives this. This is the conversation between Uddhava and Lord Krishna, Uddhava Gita. Lord Krishna gives the essence of the Vedas. This is in the 11th canto, chapter 21, text number 43. Lord says, the essence of all Vedic literature is to distinguish me from Maya. By considering the illusory energy, one comes to the platform of understanding me. In this way, one becomes free from the speculations about the Vedas and comes to me as a conclusion. Thus, one is satisfied. This is Lord Krishna's version of what is the purpose of the Vedas. Again, same thing. Because perpetually we are just going, a cycle just going on and on and on. So Krishna is saying, come back. Know me. Come to the spiritual world. You're rotting here in this material world. Life after life after life after life. So, now as we heard that the Vedas are vast, big, massive, huge. For Kali Yuga citizens, are we in the position to understand or read? Even read? Even my notes, I'm just putting a name there. Even know the names, I don't remember what to speak of speaking. I'm speaking here, but I haven't read it. I'll confess. I have not read it. Yes. I've just listed some names, even from the subnets, somebody says. So it's a vast, huge. So what for us, what is it? So in that, what did Vyasadeva give us? For us. Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes? What is Srimad Bhagavatam? Yes, she nailed it. Two Rasgullas for analogy. Yeah? The conclusion of whole entire Vedic literature is Srimad Bhagavatam. Nigama Kalpa Tarva Kalitam Phalam. Nigama refers to a Vedic, entire body of the Vedic literature. Nigama Kalpataru. It's Kalpataru, you know, that desire, fulfilling that the essence. Galitam Phalam. Galitam, that's ripened to this extent, is so perfect. Galitam Phalam. Just like, yeah, you know, a mango. Yeah. Ripe mango. Mango, even it doesn't have a galitam phalam, sukha mukhad, it's coming, emanating from the mukha of the Sukadeva Goswami, sukha mukhad, drava amritam, amrita. Pivata bhagavata, rasam alayam. Mahur ahorasika bhuvi bhavuka. This Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence of the entire Vedic literature, which gives the conclusion to know Krishna. It is so rasam alayam, it is so, it's tasty. Pivata. Bhagavata is instructing, pivata, drink. You don't even have to chew it. Chewing, it takes time, energy. Take it, just drink it. Sansa. Bhagavatam. Niyam kalpataru galitam phalam sukham kharam jantra vijayukam Pivata bhagavata masam alay maho abho rasika bhuvi bhavaka. Krishna swadham upagate, sages have asked the Sonakrishi, where has dharma gone? One of the questions from the sages, where is dharma gone? Krishna swadham upagate dharma jnana divi saha. When Krishna left this world, dharma, jnana, adi, ityadi, all this, the good deeds are all gone with him. What is there left? Dharma jnana divi saha kalo nasta drisham esa puranarko udunodita. This Srimad Bhagavatam is compared to a sun that just rises. It's the beginning of the Kali Yuga. Purana Arka. Arka means sun. Udunodita. Benefit the entire world. Such is Bhagavatam. What is left there for us? If you understand Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, that is more than sufficient for us too. So it's not many verses, only 18,000 verses. But every verse, every chapter, every text, it's rasamalaya. When we hear, you know, like explanation from such as, you know, the great devotees, Ramana Swami, Sri Maharaj, Amrendra, when you explain each word, every word has got a rush. Every syllable has got a taste. Me. What is the purpose? Purpose for us to enlighten us. To make us understand, hey fools, what are you doing here, rotting in this material? Get up! This is the message from the Srimad Bhagavatam. To give this message, Vyasadeva has worked so hard. Thousands of lakhs and lakhs of words where the verses are written for our benefit. Are we taking advantage? Are we doing it? Read. This is one of the debt we have to pay. Receive it. When we come to this world, we have a debt. Pitridin, Devarin, Rishirin. Pitridin is that the mother and father, when we are born, they look after us. We have to pay them by respecting them, doing their service for them. Devarin, we worship by worshipping devtas. They are also benefiting their day also. Rishirin, how are we going to pay the Rishirin? Receives all those gurus, acharyas, they have written this knowledge for us. How are we going to repay that? By studying this, learning this. They have worked hard for us to learn, for us to give this knowledge. Such a wonderful work we have, so, you know, benefited. So, in Bhagavatam and in the purport, Bhagavatam, next, last point, he says, Bahunam Janmanam Ante Jnanamanam Prabhupate. After many, 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 many births, one comes to you to understand this knowledge, Jnanamanam Prabhupate. And out of that, if Vasudeva Saraviti, if one comes to the conclusion of Vasudeva is conclusion of everything, that's the highest. So, yes, our goal, our life is Vasudeva, Krishna. Vedesh sarve ahameva vedya. Of all the Vedas. So, what here Jadbharat is discouraging, don't get entangled into this rootive karmakanda section of the Vedas. Uplift yourself. Yeah, this is the instruction, first instruction given by Jadwat King Rahugana. We'll hear such a wonderful instruction that's going to continue, it's going to come moving forward, because the few chapters will be dedicated on the instructions of Jadwat. Even though he acted as dull and dumb and everything, but when we speak, we'll hear such a
Crystal clear.
Yes. Thank you very much. So, just any questions, comments? Yes, Mamaji.
Thank you.
Then, Mike, are you the online audience that you can hear? If there's any? If not, I'll repeat. Okay, I'll try to phrase it. Yes, Mama.
Thank you very much for an excellent class. My question is, how we are talking about the meditation of your breath all the time. So how to meditate on Krishna? Just tell me a brief summary.
How to meditate on Krishna?
One is chanting of the holy name and anything for this. Elaboration.
How to meditation? Meditation is the word meditation. What is the definition of meditation? It means you're thinking of something. You meditate or you think on something. There's some object of thinking, some meditating on something, right? You can also meditate on the object of the senses. You can also meditate on the. So the meditation of Jadwat is constantly thinking of Krishna.
How to do that?
I haven't really realized it. What I've heard is chanting, worshipping. In the worship, you offer, Sravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smar, all this Navada Bhakti, they're also part of the things. So it's anything they do, it's just Krishna is a center. All activities are there, Krishna is a center. Even though he may be walking down, like acting like a dumb, but he's deep in meditation. What is he thinking of? His beloved Lord said, Krishna. That is his. So it's just constant meditating on, or thinking, or chanting on this. Chanting could be out loud, could be in an instituting of kirtan. This is also kirtan. We hear it, you're listening. Sravanam kirtan is going on. So this is what is taking place. So that is just very basic. Of course, you can do Ashtanga yogas, you can also meditate on Krishna that way, you can do a kirtan, you can also do this. There's many varieties of ways. But the ultimate is thinking of the Lord constantly. Manmana bhavana prapta matya jyotirmasa. Thinking of this Krishna. So that could be.
Preaching and distribution of prasadam and distribution of books of Prabhupada.
Yes. In our practical day-to-day, our life, in what Prabhupada established, yes, going out there and preaching, distributing books, doing harinam, they're also part of the meditation.
And
prasadam, yes. Undoubtedly. Prasadam, yes. That is known.
In this age, is there any specific year to attain Godhead?
In this age, are there any specific?
Years to attain Godhead.
If we
chant for 50 years or 60 years, then we can attain God.
What's the value of God?
The question is there any period like, okay, can we put day one to day, is there beginning or end, is there any date that you can set, okay, so I've been chanting for 15 years or what, then can I become a perfect? It does not exactly work like that. Becoming a devotee, in this Vyasa Sanskrit, Srila Prabhupada asked the same question. Yeah? Question was, how long does it take to want to become a pure devotee? There's a video clip if you really want to go and search on YouTube. In this very Rajasthan, in this very place, in that seat, Prabhupada was asked that same question. How long does it take one to go and become a pure devotee? Krishna says, 1 minute. Prabhupada said, with his eyes open, look at the video, they're very nice. Yeah. Why eye open? He said, 1 minute. And then he said, he quoted a few verses. He says, Sarva dharman paritechya mame kam saranam raja. How long does it take people to surrender to Krishna? Doesn't. Yes, in the process, if we can chant sincerely, Krishna says, Krishna does not put a timeline. You have to practice this many years, this many days, this many months. No. Krishna says you can become a pure devotee, as Prabhupada said, it's in no time. It depends on our surrender. It depends on our sincerity. You can become a pure devotee. In Bhagavatam, we hear in the 9th canto, I think it is Khatvanga Maharaj. Khatvanga Maharaj was fighting for the demigod. He was so powerful. Towards the end, he asked the demigods, you know the past, present, and future. Tell me my future, how long do I have? They said, you have 45 minutes. And Bhagavatam says, in 45 minutes, he became a Muhurta. Muhurta is 45 minutes. One Muhurta. He had 1 minute. On that period, he became a devotee and is listed how within that short period of time he became a pure devotee. So they said, time is not, it's not what, how many years you practice, it's how you practice, how you become close to Krishna, that is what counts. As I understand, I'm to be corrected. Yeah? Any other? Yes, Prabhu.
Who I heard in another class, I think it was here, that Maharaj Bharat couldn't get the prema bhakti because he was lacking the association. So he was practicing bhakti alone. So my question has two parts. One is, when he became Jada Bhakta, he was also not associated to assets and devotees. So though he had that advantage of, you know, having memory of the past, you know, births. So why still he is in a protection? That's the one thing. And secondly, we give very importance to, you know, the Guru Shishya Parampara and things. So maybe I may have missed it. But as you go telling sort of, you know, even from Gandhi's sake, he got any guru, where he got the, you know, knowledge, spiritual knowledge. So he can be qualified to be a, you know, a preacher. You know, instructions to the
So I'm just trying to refer paraphrase this for online listeners as well. So the question is that first section of the question is that Bharat Maharaj was fall down because it's been heard that he did not have a devotee association, Sadhu Sangha, because he was practicing his meditation, his devotion alone. That could be one of the reasons that it's fall down. And the question is that so? Is that the question is? Is that the...
So he didn't follow that one in birth as well. So he was not, you know, rectifying his mistake.
Yeah. So when he was trying to rectify his mistake in the next life as a Jagannath, did he have a guru and did he practice that was he in the Sadhu Sangha? See, when we have that detail is not given in Srimad Bhagavatam, that exactly. Because he's living for so many long years, but this Bhagavatam narrates very brief of their activities. I am assuming, my guess is that yes, he would have taken, definitely taken advantage of the any Vaishnavas or sadhus that he comes around, or he must have taken that association. I don't think so, because now knowing that in the past he has neglected that part, he certainly would have taken this advantage. In Srimad Bhagavatam, all the details of each devotees are not given, not listed, because of the time, because of the volume it gets. So my assumption is yes, he would have taken. Even his guru, his father, gave him that is mentioned, that he has tried to give him that samskaras of the as a child born, jatakarma, all this has given to him. His Gayatri Mantra has even also given to him, and that it's mentioned. But in the Vaishnava things, I don't know. But my assumption is yes, he would have taken that advantage, because he knows, even though he's acting dumb and dumb, he's not dumb and dumb there. He's a very pure devotee, and he would be searching for that kind of opportunities as it comes. So that's my understanding. Yes,
sir.
Last question.
Sri Krishna ji speak Bhagavad Gita by 1,000 years ago. Before that, how people get elevated to spiritual planets? Because if someone read Vedas, then he get impressed to flowery works.
So the question is, the Bhagavad Gita was spoken 5,000 years ago. Prior to that, the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, of all the Vedas, how did the people practice? Is that correct? Or how did they understand the knowledge? Correct? As I mentioned in the beginning of the lecture, that this knowledge, as I said, was put into a writing 5,000 years ago. However, this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, knowledge of the Vedas, are coming right in the beginning of the creation. They are this knowledge, as Krishna, right in the first verse of Bhagavatam, he says, Tene Brahma Rida Adi Kavaye. Lord Krishna imparts this Vedas knowledge to Lord Brahma. Brahma is the first created being. Brahma creates the whole entire material cosmos, right? So before even he even starts to create, that knowledge was given to him. So the knowledge was passed on from Brahma to Narada to Vyasa, and it's just passed on in the Sruti, heard, spoken. There was knowledge, that knowledge was passed on. Right? So knowledge was always there. It's not that knowledge was just 5,000 years ago and we see that knowledge is. This knowledge is in Krishna Bhagavad, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains in the fourth chapter that he imparted this knowledge to Vivashwar. Sangha, right? Sangha was millions years. So Krishna, this knowledge was always there. We cannot say, okay, only these 5,000 years onwards. 5,000 years onwards was put into a writing. That is the historical thing. The knowledge is always there. Comes through Sruti. Heard and passed on. Heard and passed on. Memory is so sharp that just once hearing, they remember the. And then he passed. Guru Shishya and Bhagavan. That's how knowledge comes.
Sometimes, some days we chant very sincerely, some days reading sincerely, like on the internet as well, reading about Shri Krishna or everything. But sometimes, how to make it constant? Because sometimes reading good, chanting okay. Sometimes reading skip, chanting okay. Like, how to make it constant? Like, you know.
Welcome to the club. I'm in the same club. I don't know. You tell me. It's difficult. I mean, yeah, it is. Yeah, the question is for online here that how do you make the practice of the devotional services is reading, chanting, and hearing, make it constant and make it positive and better. Well, as I said, welcome to the club. I'm in the same boat as you. And that it's up and down, it's like that, it happens. But as you have a desire to do it sincerely, keep that desire happening. And as you practice, as that desire is stronger, it gets stronger and gets stronger and better, and that will work. It's a practice. Again, Krishna says, abhyasena tu kaunteya, abhyas. By practice, it will come. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya, Shri Prabhupada ki jaya, Shri Radha Bhagavatam ki jaya, Jatparat Maharaj ki jaya.